Tyler Reddick here from 2311 Racing. Another checkered flag for the books. Time to celebrate with Chumba. Jump in at ChumbaCasino.com. Let's Chumba.
No purchase necessary. VGW Group. Void where prohibited by law. See TNCs 21 plus. Sponsored by Chumba Casino.
It's time for the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Now, broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
When the world was a time of this and that, I was young, didn't know to hold it back. Now we're here in the world, something else. We can leave any day, call for help. We were guides, nobody was above me. The A on my chest like a Dolce. The A on my chest, put your fist up. The A on my chest like a chipmunk. Alvin, Theodore, breathe in, breathe out. Me and more, breathe in, breathe out. Never mind, it was time. Number nine, let my lies be line with a death wish. Be right, didn't have no name on a guest list. Hold on, we're destined.
We finally found some positivity. If you're listening to the back half of the John Lance Show, some positivity from outside voices concerning the Texans, at least the guys who try to make money betting on these games. Five Star likes the Texans. And so does Justin. The Justin thing I wouldn't take comfort in. He's not great at that, but Five Star is pretty good. And he likes the Texans in the game. Now, I don't remember if he ever said straight up, which for our purposes is what matters. For the people who don't bet, the Texans winning is what matters. But as far as that number, or the Lions are what? Are they 3.5 or 4.5? I'll have to look at it. He likes the Texans there. So in a close ball game at home, Texans have been pretty good under D'Amico Ryans winning these one-score games. That might lead you to believe that there's an upset in store. What doesn't lead you to think that is the absences of Will Anderson and Nico Collins again for practice. We'll find out if they show up today, but missing that Thursday practice makes you think we're not going to see the Texans, let's say, but beyond the quarterback and his importance, the two best Texans. Surely Joe Mixon has been great as well, but as far as
best on offense,
side
best
of the ball,
on
I'll give that to Will Anderson, and then Nico Collins. We know how good he has been since C.J. Stroud became a Texan. So those guys don't look on track to play, which stinks. You're going to need a pass rush, and sure, Danielle Hunter's at the top of the heap when it comes to pressures, but you want the bookend on the other side, and Will Anderson is the defensive player of the month, has a strong case if that were to continue for defensive player of the year. It doesn't look like he's going to play. That's unfortunate. So while optimism kind of popped up surprisingly from 9 to 10, this show is going to bring you down. This show all week long is saying, I don't like this. Like Peter Parker in Infinity War, I don't feel so good. I don't feel so good about this game. I'm not going to fade away to dust. I don't feel that bad. But this game, I'm a little nervous. And nerves are strong. I mean, I'm pretty calm about it. I'm not anxiety-filled, but as far as how this game's going to go, Sunday Night Football, it stacks up for one of these games, and we talked about it, where everyone's asking the questions, what's wrong with the Texans? And they certainly have a chance to push that aside. You're just not getting any help as far as your impact players. Some guys are coming back. Jimmy Ward will be back. Looks like Azeez Ajayi will be back. Jarrett Patterson is back. Whether he'll start or not, we'll find out. But your two big stars look to be out. And it was coordinator day yesterday. Bobby Slowick answered questions about their second half struggles. We'll play some sound there. Matt Burke was available, and he explained why Jalen Petrie was on Davante Adams. Not in a way that's going to satisfy anyone. It's a lot of coach jargon, but he gave an answer for how that happened. How your less than average cover safety was on one of the best receivers of a generation. How did that happen in one-on-one in a gotta-have-it moment? He'll tell you. I don't think you're going to like his answer. But you'll hear it. And also, we'll hear from the guy who's been a target of this show since probably about week three, Chris Strauser. He spoke. They made him available. The reporters asked him some questions about what's going on and why hasn't it been fixed. So we'll hear from him as well. So overall, we got to hear from the guys who actually like give in-depth answers. The guys, D'Amico Ryans, hasn't completely indoctrinated into, hey, don't give them anything. Strouser gave us something. Matt Burke gave us something. Sloat gave us something. They don't know that you just say, we're trying hard, we'll get it corrected, and we like our team. They haven't learned that yet. But they will at some point. Strouser's like, I don't wanna be up here. Why are you? Don't make me available. Make me available when we have a clean game. Like, if we shut down the Lions and CJ goes for 320, make me available on the following Thursday. Yeah. Not this Thursday. It's unfortunate, man.
Yeah, it does feel like when your offensive line coach talks to the media.
It's either because he got caught doing coke like that Dolphins offensive line coach did, or his unit's performing poorly.
Yes.
It's usually the second.
Only two
Those
options.
Are the only two options. You've been caught doing illicit drugs.
One's very bad. One's kind of fun.
Both could get you fired.
Yeah, but one's fun at least.
Yeah, one will get you fired quick. This one might be slow and drawn out if this continues. So we'll hear from him. It's unfortunate. I didn't want to learn his name, but I do know it. Not sure how to pronounce it. Strouser, however you want to pronounce it. But he's out there. People know his name now, and now he's being peppered with questions from the Will Kunkels of the world and the Aaron Wilsons of the world because they want to know, how come this can't be fixed? Every image of C.J. Stroud picking himself off the ground is another note that someone's making. I got to talk to Strouser about this. Strouser, if he stays upright, we won't hear from you the rest of the season. Unless about what a remarkable turnaround for this offensive line. Then he would like, please put me out there. But for now, it's all bad. He'll try to explain what the deal is. So we'll talk about what they say after we hear about it. But the game that happened last night, I'm watching some of the highlights of Lamar Jackson scampering down the sideline on a remarkable play to set up a touchdown for the Ravens. Maybe it's because I'm selfish. Maybe it's because I don't react to a lot of things. But I can't get up in arms about officiating. We know they're not great, but I'm not gonna be like what Al Michaels was last night, where he was disgusted. He goes, "It happens all the time." He referenced what happened with Stafford in the game where he was obviously had his helmet turned and they didn't call it. It turned into a safety, was it? But that should have obviously been a personal foul. They didn't call that last week. It was rough for the officials, but I will tell Mike Gesicki to cut it out. Mike Gesicki, the initial contact is something that is reasonable, that happens all the time in the NFL, whether it be by the goal line or in the middle of the field, like a half a yard beyond the line of scrimmage. I saw you pull that James Harden move where you lock in the other guy's arm and flail around like you got fouled. Cut it out. Mike, knock it off. That was not and the Terry McCauley initially goes, "That's an obvious defensive holding." I was like, "No, it's not. No, it's not." That's Mike Gesicki selling the call. He's like, "My arm. Stop it. Stop it." And by the way, I am of the opinion that the ball's not even going your way. Pocket the flag. That he wasn't even looking at Mike Gesicki on the play. It had no effect on the play. He had no thought to come backside and try to find Mike Gesicki. Mike Gesicki was a decoy.
When McCauley said that, I was like, "Oh, so that's why flopping works."
Yeah.
It's because a ref in a booth is like, man.
He couldn't
look
even,
at him. He got mauled.
Yeah. They showed the initial replay, and I thought to myself, that's Mike trying to sell a call, Gesicki trying to sell a call. And then McCauley's like, "Yeah, it's an obvious defensive holding." And then obviously they got to Joe Burrow getting hit in the face on what should have been a penalty.
That's
by rule.
That's more obvious. The Gesicki one, that is.
Cut it out.
That's like when you like wrap your arm with someone else and then put your arms up and go down.
That's exactly what he did.
That's what he did.
He locked in the defender's arm and then raised his other arm like he was being held and restricted because he knew that he wasn't getting off the line. He was looking to sell a call, and it didn't work. And the Ravens went. And now the Bengals are 4-6. Some numbers from that game. Well, numbers from the two games that Joe Burrow's played against the Ravens this year. This is according to OptaStats. There have been two instances in NFL history where a quarterback had 30 passing completions, 300 passing yards, 4 touchdown passes, multiple 40-yard touchdown passes, and no more than one interception and still lost the game. Those two instances were both Burrow versus the Ravens this year. Historic Joe Burrow. not like the 2019 LSU team, a little better for you in terms of setting historic and having accomplishments. But in this case, that Bengals defense has no answers for Lamar Jackson, and more in the first matchup, it was Lamar Jackson and Derrick Henry. Last night, it was just Lamar Jackson.
I don't think either defense has answers for either offense.
Considering the numbers I just read off about Joe Burrow. Yeah,
the losing quarterback both times.
Zach Orr, the new Ravens DC, has no answers for the Bengals, obviously. And Jamar Chase had a remarkable night. That was the Jamar Chase. Now, he's been a great receiver, but that's the Jamar Chase I remember back when, I think probably of year two, where you could just throw him a slant. And it happened against the Ravens, actually, a lot, where they would just throw him a ball. The Ravens had no one that could match up with him physically, and he would just take a 10-yard or even an 8-yard pass and take that 50, 60 yards. That was nuts. He was I know Lamar Jackson's on the field and Derrick Henry is too, but last night Jamar Chase was the best athlete on the field. Just untouchable as far as the Ravens trying to cover him. The Ravens got problems with their defense. It's not what we know them to be. They've had talent drains as far as their linebacker core because Patrick Queen left. But also, when we're talking about their coaches, multiple coaches have left that staff to go be DCs someplace else or in Mike McDonald's case, a head coach. And you can tell there's a big difference. For the most part, you look at them, that defense, the core of it remains from one that we expected it to be really good. They did lose Kyle Hamilton with, I thought, initially, because there was no contact, because I didn't see the full extent that could have been some type of ACL Achilles thing. But it turns out it's his ankle. You could see when it turned. But they lost him in the middle of the game, but they weren't stopping anyone when he was in the game. So the Ravens are a contender, but they are flawed massively on the defensive side of the ball, which is surprising. We know in the playoffs that Lamar Jackson and that offense has issues. We'll see if Derrick Henry adds a different element to it when they get there, but if the Ravens are a team, you can't expect the whole team's at least good offenses under 30. It's going to be really tough. But we know who it'll fall on. It's all great now for Lamar Jackson. Another great performance. Probably your leader in the MVP race. Because as good as Joe Burrow is and has been, that team's not good enough right now. And I'm not sure Jared Goff is going to get the credit that he might deserve because he's Jared Goff. But all the praise for Lamar Jackson. Just wait like 8 weeks. Wait till that divisional round game if they're struggling. Everyone's going to forget about what's going on now and revert back to all the storylines and narratives that they take on every time the Ravens don't win. What's wrong with Lamar? Right now, as has been the case for most of his career when he's healthy, a great regular season quarterback, and he proved it again last night. A really good game. I won't say it was marred by penalties because you know what? As long as it doesn't happen to my team, I can't care. I know people get upset about it, but beyond the Gesicki thing and obviously Joe Burrow get hit in the face, I just take it this way. The referees are going to screw up. I just pray it doesn't happen to a team I root for. I hope on the wheel, it doesn't land on my team. Because I know it's going to happen to someone. I just need it to not happen to someone or some team I root for. That's all you can expect or hope for. Have some luck. It's about luck at this point because you know they're going to screw something up. I'm not going to throw my arms up in the air. Just please, please don't happen tomorrow at about, let's say, 12:30 in Atlanta. That's what I'm looking for. Just don't happen to my team. That's all you can hope for.
Nah, you don't have to worry about that.
Well, okay. It happened last year.
No, the ACC officials will make sure.
Yeah, I've heard that now this year they're in the pocket of
they'll
Miami.
They'll review it. Yeah. See anything.
Well, they should. It's a payback for what they did last year, when that elbow was obviously down. They still ruled it a fumble. This is our get back. I hope to grift my way into a playoff appearance and maybe a deep playoff run where all the calls go Miami's way. Because in the history of Miami football, referees being on our side was not a thing. Let's pay it forward to this year. All of it happens this year.
Yeah, you get all the karma. Right,
all the karma from Cleveland Gary not fumbling against Notre Dame back in the late 80s to numerous personal foul penalties that shouldn't have gone against Miami. Let's make sure it all gets paid back this year, because next year I don't trust Mario Cristobal without Cam Ward. That's all I got to say about that. And once again,
Now I do hope that, like, there's a PI that gets called.
The PI that got called that ruined the program back 20 plus years ago?
I meant, like, against, like, whatever.
Georgia
like
Tech?
What?
Yeah, against who?
No, I mean on Saturday, where there's just, like, Xavier Restrepo just gets mauled and they call flag.
Oh,
no
call. Oh, that's a definite to happen at some point, I'm sure.
Georgia Tech
upsets Miami for the second year in a row, and everyone's like, you know what? Let him play. No one's gonna. Yeah.
You don't want to. You want to see him call that at that point? Come on.
We'd love a targeting call against Cal, but a pass interference call in this situation, we're not looking for that. Let the guys play. Let them settle it on the field.
Yeah, come on.
But beyond my obvious bias, I hope it all happens in certain ways for you guys. If you're fans of teams, the referees stink. Just pray you're not on the end of it. Like if you're a Raven fan. Awesome. But you know what, Ravens fans? It's going to happen to you at some point.
Yeah.
Because it always comes around.
Against the Texans. Later in the year.
So you mean, oh, okay.
In December. That's when the get back happens. There'll be a phantom call on Matabike roughing the passer.
Yeah. Instead of the game ending 30-13, it'll end 30-7.
Let's hope it's in the first half so the Texans can score when they get the benefit of that call.
We will talk about that because Bobby Slug was asked about the Texans' inability to put up points in the second half. The Texans' second half offensive struggles were a topic of conversation. We will get to that. And Ryan Clark doesn't believe Jared Goff and the Lions will blow off the Texans. That has just popped up on the screen. Now that Ryan Clark has said it.
Let's go.
We should feel more positivity.
Not blown out.
That's the depths they've sunk to. The Texans won't get blown out on Sunday night. Cool. That's the question they're asking. Will Jared Goff blow out my team? What happened?
They're only like 3.5-point favorites.
I know. What kind of question is that, by the way? They are not double-digit underdogs. It's supposed to be a close game if you ask anyone who's supposed to know things as far as betting is concerned. And they're like, you know what? I don't believe it.
Should Texans fans storm the field if they win on Sunday?
NFL teams should never storm the field. Unless
it's such a blowout. They're asking how it's going to be a blowout.
Yeah, they're asking it, but it's like 3.5. That
still
doesn't count.
The number one team in the nation's coming to your stadium.
The problem when we do this is it feels like I have to explain that all the time to people because I'm not sure anyone's caught our bit that we're doing. Yes, if we were ranking teams.
And according to the power
rankings. If we put a number next to the Lions, they'd be one, at least with ESPN, if we put a number next to the Texans, they'd be about 12 or 14 maybe. And
upset.
And it would be a giant upset despite what the odds say. All right, we'll hear from Bobby Slowick when we come back. We will hear from Matt Burke as well. He has some explaining to do about why Jalen Petrie was guarding Devonta Adams. We'll preview the college football weekend as well. Alex Bregman apparently willing to discuss a position switch, which might make him less likely to sign with the Astros if other teams can get involved on him. We'll talk about that as well later in the show. We're just getting started here. We will be back.
ESPN 97.5.
Kane is in the building.
Is the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Broadcasting live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
So let's get to the Texans coordinator yesterday. They both spoke, it was their day, and it is weird that they are answering questions from a game that happened last week, in fact, a week from the day they spoke, when they have all the things they have to get ready for their next game, which is actually 2 days or, 3 days away. But, hey, it's their time, so they have to answer questions about what happened against the Jets. And what Bobby Slowick is faced with is something that has been an issue throughout the season, the Texans' inability to put up points in the second half. Certainly not matching what they do in the first half. Here's Bobby Slowick discussing why his team has struggles in the second half of games.
say it all is I bet you if you look at situational football, it's going to be very much the same. It's going to be in the first half we're good at situational football. In the second half, we're not executing situational football well enough. There's no, you know, people like to think there's some secret sauce between the first half, the second half. There's all these adjustments that happen. Everybody makes adjustments. We've talked about it before. You know, you have subtle things that happen within a game. There's not one thing a defense is doing in the second half that's different than what they do in the first half. We're not doing our job as well, and, you know, and that's been an emphasis for us for 3 weeks, and we got to keep straining on it.
So they're not being outsmarted or outcoached. They just forget how to do things. Because if I'm taking them at his word, they're not surprised by what's coming. They just can't operate the same way they did in the first half. I don't know why that would be. Going to halftime, they forget how to play. It is what he sounds like he's saying.
They just get worse.
Yeah. You get worse as a football
team.
Yeah. You are less focused, I guess, because if you're not surprised, it just means you decide to, you can't play at the same level. You can't keep up the level you were playing at in the first half.
Yeah, saying like you're not, it's not a game plan thing, it's an execution thing is basically what he's saying. But like, okay, then why can't they execute in second half? Like, yeah. Then, all right, new question. What happens?
What happens in that team talk? And we've heard players talk about nothing much goes on at halftime. You don't have enough time. You got 12 minutes, and I think that's from the time the final whistle or when the clock hits zero. It's not 12 minutes once you enter the locker room. The clock begins as soon as
walking off the field.
Yeah, yeah. So you may, by the time you get to the locker room, you may have like 10 minutes if you are walking at a leisurely pace. So I'm not sure what is going on. You're taking off your pads, you go to the bathroom, maybe get a snack, and your coach says a couple words, your position coach, then you hear from D'Amico, and you're back out there. So I'm going to shoot him some bail because initially it almost sounds like the players are the issue because they're not playing to the level they were playing at in the first half, but I don't think that was his point. It's just that the team overall isn't operating in the same way they did in the first half, which is everybody. Which means, is there a fix or isn't there a fix? Because it's been going on for 9 games. You're over halfway through the year and you still can't fix your problems. They'll get another opportunity against the best team they've played all year on Sunday night. So the Lions don't have all-time wide receivers, got a guy who's going to be a Hall of Famer like Devontae Adams, but they do have Amon-Ra St. Brown, one of the better receivers in the game. They don't have like a Garrett Wilson. So, because we're going to hear from Matt Burke about that. That's why I bring it up, that the Jets have options. So at some point, one of your guys is going to be in a disadvantageous matchup. But they do have a Laporta, Amon-Ra St. Brown. They can put Jahmyr Gibbs out in the passing game. So how will the Texans handle a diverse offense with multiple weapons? They were put in a position to try to guard Devontae Adams, and they failed, particularly with Jalen Petrie late in that game. Here is Matt Burke discussing why that happened and how you get put in that situation.
You matched up with Devontae Adams. Was there any, you know, was there any caution to maybe calling the timeout and trying to switch it up?
I mean, this timeouts aren't my world, so I can't speak to that. But no, I mean, you know, in any coverage, you know, like there's the soft spots, there's strengths and weaknesses to what we're doing. You know, we were trying to get some pressure there. It was, you know, kind of fringe area. Frankly, we were like not concerned, but like there was a thought of there's a possible run situation. You know, it was 3rd and 3, like in plus territory. Like, could they run? So we wanted to have enough, a firm enough, you know, front that if they did try to hand the ball off, you know, so there's a lot of things going in. I mean, you know, we trust Jalen to be, you know, where he needs to be. And, you know, they got a lot of good receivers. They, you know, they got 5 on the other side. They got a lot of stuff going on. So I don't think there was any thought about that.
And that's my problem. You trust Jalen Petrie to be where he needs to be. Not isolated on Devontae Adams. How could you possibly have any trust in that? And that speaks to maybe a larger point with the Texans. They're not aware that it's a problem just yet, for whatever reason, that teams will continue to isolate him and try to get good receivers on him and see how he can handle it. And yet, do we expect anything to change against the Lions? If they spread it out and they get Jalen Petrie one-on-one, where do you think they're going? I get what he's saying. There are so many things. He pretty much said, hey, my job is hard. There's so much going on out there. And yes, as the defensive coordinator in the NFL, your job is hard. You had Aaron Rodgers on the other side, Devonta Adams, Garrett Wilson, maybe Breece Hall you have to be concerned with. Maybe they'll run the football. Yes, there are things you have to be concerned about. But you have an obvious weak point that you exposed. That is that Aaron Rodgers didn't even have to think, oh, look, the guy I've been playing with the better part of my career is out there against Jalen Petrie. Where should I go with the football? You didn't even make him hesitate to maybe even give Jalen Petrie a chance to hold up. Maybe Aaron Rodgers is fooled by something. There's no fooling him. One-on-one coverage, two-way go because he was inside, and they made the Texans pay. I can trust Jalen Petrie to try to be where he's supposed to be, but is he capable of it? Have the Texans come to the realization that he's not capable of doing some of the things you're asking him to do? And this is no longer a Jalen Petrie problem. He is a downhill, attack the line of scrimmage safety. We know that. They should know that. Everyone knows it. Stop asking him to do that. And the nickel position was supposed to be a way for him to take advantage of his skills, because back when he was playing safety, that deep safety thing that he was asked to do, not great. He didn't take great angles. He didn't tackle people. So if he's your last line of defense, those are all bad things. A safety who doesn't tackle well and takes bad angles is bad. So put him up closer to the line of scrimmage. But if you're going to do it, make him a nickel linebacker. And maybe he can hold up against against a tight end or a running back, not against some of the best receivers in football. We'll see after a couple of extra days if they find their way to be in positions where he's still isolated against big-time wide receivers. If he is, that tells everyone they haven't learned a damn thing. I would like to believe they're capable of learning from their issues and fixing them. But then I have the evidence of Chris Strauser, and that tells me maybe they're not capable of that. And we'll hear from the man in question when we come back. He is the O-line coach for the Texans, a name not a lot of people knew before the year, probably still don't. But now he is someone being asked about that unit's issues. And it's an issue, and there are issues that are upsetting people because there's a lot of investment into that O-line. From money to draft picks, it's expected to be better. Now, I thought before the year that interior could be a problem. The Juice Scruggs, Jared Patterson, Kenyon Green combo didn't instill me with much confidence. But you had your tackles. And frankly, if we think about it, how many plus players do the Texans actually have on that offensive line right now? It's Laremy Tunsil by reputation. He hasn't played his best this year, even if you remove the penalties. He is not one of the top 10 or 12 tackles if we go by PFF. He's not at the top of the list. Titus Howard's not a great right tackle. He's even worse of a guard. So that particular solution might not be great if they move him inside, just to not have to deal with Kendrick Green or Patterson at that spot. Juice Scruggs is a young player. Shaq Mason is fine. On that line, despite all the money and the picks, there's probably only one plus player on the roster right now. And even he has his problems. And some of that goes beyond what he does on the field. He may possibly be even a bigger problem when it comes to his influence on that line and their lack of accountability. But we will hear from the guy who's supposed to teach them when we come back. Chris Strauser, the O-line coach, was asked the question by multiple reporters. This one is courtesy of Aaron Wilson. We'll hear him when we come back.
Warning, warning. You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
You're listening to the Del Olalea Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Del Olalea.
We'll hear from Chris Strauser in a little bit, but if you call in with your real name, and I say that because not so much recently, but we do have people who like to call in with fake names. They have to wait, but if you use your real one, you get to go and call, and we'll get to you as quickly as possible. Pena wants to talk over-unders. What's up, Pena?
Yeah, what up, Dale? Hey, you're a Heat fan, right?
Unfortunately, right now, yes. Yes, I am.
All right. How do you like Bam going for 16.5 against Nuggets? And how do you like Jokic going 36.5 on points and assists? Thank you. Have a great day.
If you've watched Bam play this year, take the under.
Yeah.
Boy, has he been bad.
I was about to say, under on Bam.
He was awful in the game against the Suns, a game they led by 15 and let the Suns come back in that one. He'd have had hey, Payne, another one. Now, they survived in the third quarter against the Suns, but the Heat have been awful in the third quarters. So take the under, whether it be on points or take the other side. If the Heat, if you're paying attention, they have been bad. Like, in the first half of games, they have an offensive rating of, like, fifth in the league and eighth, and defense eighth. And then the second half is, like, 22nd in offense and 30th. In defense, and a lot of it has to do with their third quarters. They get beat by, like, not just like, oh, they lose by 6 or 7. It's like 15.
They give the game away in
yes.
the third quarter.
Now, it was 29-29 against the Suns, so it was a closer game going into the fourth. The Suns pulled it away, or at least they won. They pulled it out, excuse me. Suns are 7-1. Them, the Thunder, and who else? And the Warriors, all 7-1. And the Rockets see the Thunder tonight. We'll talk about what happened to Cam Whitmore. He's not injured, although his pride might be. We'll get into that a little bit later. But, the under on Bam until proven otherwise, plus the Heat have a bad history in Denver, even beyond the finals. They just not played well. They didn't even play well in Denver when LeBron and Wade were there. Some of those times was, you know, one of those guys wouldn't play, but I don't like them in that situation. I don't like Bam either. Bam will have his hands full guarding Jokic. Since you added points and assists, take Jokic. They may not have Jamal Murray. He's still in concussion protocol. Aaron Gordon's not playing in that game. He's got something that's going to keep him out for a couple weeks. Russell Westbrook is going to be starting, it looks like, if Jamal Murray doesn't play. So that might hurt Jokic's assist total.
Russell Westbrook, more on everything.
Shots taken.
Everything.
Shot attempt.
I said everything.
Okay.
Turnovers.
I said everything. So I would probably take Jokic in the over points and assists. They're going to need him, particularly if Jamal Murray doesn't play. So take a look at that. If Jamal Murray is out, You may have a giant Jokic game as they try to keep winning. They're getting back on track. The Nuggets were scuffling early, but I think they're now 5-3 after they had a big win in their last game. So there that is. Okay, let's get to Chris Strasser, whatever it is. He is the Texans' O-line coach, and this unit hasn't been performing. He was available to the media yesterday. Here is him responding to a question from Aaron Wilson.
What do you see as the crux of the pass protection issue as you guys try to protect Stroud?
Yeah, I think, you know, we just got to do a better job. We specifically are just coaching some of the, you know, both the details of what we're doing technique-wise. Probably really the starting point is the technique stuff has shown up really more than anything else. So we got to do a better job of emphasizing it during the week and, you know, making sure when we show up on game day, everybody in the unit's got complete confidence in exactly what we're doing. Up front, so I think we can. We're halfway through the season. We certainly have protected how we want to. We feel really good about the strides we know we can make and focus on some of the stuff that has shown up week in and week out.
What has been some?
Sean started laughing, and obviously it doesn't help for you guys. You just have to go to Aaron Wilson's feed. Aaron Wilson grabs that audio, and at this point, everyone's just filming things with their phone. You got to put it on Twitter or X for the engagement. And obviously, that's the quickest way for people to hear it. For some reason, Aaron Wilson decided to point his phone at the floor. I'm not sure that thump you heard at the beginning was just a start of an odd way to grab audio. Did he ever correct it? I saw the first like 15 and the camera's pointing at the floor.
No, it looks like a carpet somewhere in the Texas.
I recognize that Texans carpet, and it's been years since I've been in that area, and it's still the same looking carpet.
Yeah. I was thinking that it looks like he's like recording a whistleblower of some sort,
he can't put Strasser's face on screen because that's the only way he'll talk to him.
Exactly,
I can't reveal my identity.
Exactly, I don't really know what the deal is, but it was funny.
It's funny to
watch because it makes it seem like a much more clandestine operation than asking him about the interior of the Texans offensive
line. Yeah, because of the audio is not great as far on Wilson, so it sounds like he's whispering a little bit. He's like, hey, Chris, could you tell me a little bit of why the offensive line is working?
No, I'm not recording.
No, I swear. Is that what it is? He told Strasser that he wouldn't grab audio? Aaron, no, this is off the record?
Aaron Wilson, wearing a wire? He's an informant? Strasser's the informant.
Yeah.
He's meeting with his FBI contact, Aaron Wilson.
Yeah, he's running him. Aaron Wilson's running Strasser. And now the audio is out. You told me you would protect me. Now Strauss is in a heap of trouble from D'Amico and Nick Caserio. We told you not to speak. What do we tell you about speaking? You don't talk to reporters. Fun aside, he didn't really say much that comforted me. All he said was, "We've seen things that we know we can focus on." It's been nine games, Strasser. And it's the same issues. You can't take anything they say to heart until we see it on the field.
Yeah, it's half the season at this point.
Yeah, what are we talking about? You've seen things that you could correct. Why does it take you? Let's say it does get fixed against Detroit. So 10 weeks, 10 games is the magic number. You got 10 weeks of practice, and you're like, you know what? That's even excluding preseason because they probably weren't running a lot of stunts in preseason games, so they didn't have to worry about how bad it would be.
Yeah, and how often were all the guys practicing at
together?
The same time?
Yeah. I mean, Laramie Tunsil, he had issues with the knee, so he didn't practice very much. So 10 weeks of regular season play, and they finally figured it out. I hope so. I have my doubts.
Yeah. I mean, it could be something like if I'm going to take Strasser at his word. Big week for taking people that we shouldn't take at their word.
Very true.
But if I am going to take him at his word, maybe it just he needs the right, or it's something where the right combination kind of unlocks the line to be, again, just like playable.
Just be the eighth best offensive line in the league. Yeah, like, limit it to three.
Yeah, just be slightly below average and not killing your quarterback. Yeah. But I think it could be something where you just find the right group of five guys that can execute, or you can find some stuff that works with them. But at the same time, it's been almost 10 weeks now. Like, I don't know what the, you know, fairy dust he can sprinkle on the offensive
line. Yeah, is it simply having Jarrett Patterson there instead of Kenyon Green now that he's out for the year, which would beg the question, what were you watching in practice that this guy is obviously an upgrade and it changes the complexion of your entire offensive line? So what we're saying is they can't really win with us.
No, I mean, until they play better.
Until they play better.
Until they play better. Then there will be a little bit of like, why did it take so long?
And then we'll get over it.
Yeah, we'll get over it if it continues. But, yeah, I mean, this is where the Texans have been really since the Green Bay game, where it's like, hey, you can't – like all the talking about fixing your issues, like we're past that point. You got to actually fix them at some point.
Yeah, and hopefully it begins Sunday night. Big game for them, mostly just to get back on track. The division, whatever, we'll see. They'll know where they stand by the time that game begins if the Colts have won and maybe the division gets a little tighter if they lose. So, but for them, it's just finding a rhythm, finding the feeling that makes you think, okay, we're back on track. We're a pretty good football team. What we were dealing with, particularly against New York, was a bit of a blip. Maybe that place is just a house of horrors. It was awful the last time they went there. It was awful last Thursday. Maybe MetLife is just a place the Texans aren't going to have a lot of fun. There are places like that for teams, and maybe that's one for the Texans. We'll see what they look like at home in those all-red jerseys against the Detroit Lions. Okay, we will get to this when we come back. I mentioned this before. Scott Boras is telling the Major League Baseball world that Alex Bregman is open to something. We'll talk about that and what it might mean for adding something we didn't expect to the conversation as far as whether he'll be back here with the Astros. We'll talk about that when we come back. But first, let's talk about Aqueduct Plumbing Company. Aqueduct Plumbing Company is the place you go to if you have any issues with your plumbing. It could be a small leak. It could be something to do with your faucet. You don't know. You don't know. You're not a plumber. We're not expecting you to be a plumber. That's why you just go to aqueductplumbingcompany.com. It's a website for the company owned by Billy Brown. He's in the Clear Lake area, and they are a local company wanting to help local people. You can call them right now at 281-488-6238. That's the number to get them out there, and they have a free quote. So if you don't know what's going on and you don't want to be charged for simply a visit, that's the place you call. That's the website you go to. Whether it be a big job, it could be something where you need to get a old water heater out of there, or maybe you're having an issue with your tankless water heater. All that is what they cover, from water heaters to a repiping. They take care of that. And it goes beyond that as far as their services. Maybe you need to work on a plumbing fixture, or you need a reroute. It could be a water filter. They take care of all of that. You can check out what they have to offer at aqueductplumbingcompany.com. Under their services tab, they let you know, and they have experienced, trained, excellent contractors that'll help you out. Remember, it's aqueductplumbingcompany.com. It is aqueductplumbingcompany.com.
You're listening to ESPN 97.5.
The Del Olalea Show continues
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's your host, Del Olalea.
You want to get in on the show? 713-780-3776. Michael Carroll will join us at 11:30. He's back. He will tell us, maybe not tell us, but he will suggest what we should or should not watch. I watched something last night. There is a new movie on Prime called My Old Ass. Funny title, but it features Aubrey Plaza, and I say that because, sure, she's a big name, but she's only in it for, like, maybe 15 minutes. The premise is her younger self does shrooms, and it allows for Aubrey Plaza to talk to her and advise her on life, and it's like a coming-of-age story for the younger version of her. It's pretty good. My Old Ass on Prime. And then I watched something else that I can't remember. Oh, Snack Shack. That's on Prime, too. That's fine. I haven't gotten to the end of that. But I would say if you like a coming-of-age story and you just want to see Aubrey Plaza on your television, My Old Ass on Prime is pretty good. And we'll talk to Michael Carroll about other movies and TV shows that you should take a look at. I confirmed with him that he's not going to watch Smile 2. Feels unlikely. He's not a big horror guy, as if you listen to our segments, you know. So Smile 2, I think I'm going to see this weekend. Getting good reviews. I like Smile 1 quite a bit. Kevin Bacon's daughter was in that. She was the star of that one. And this, Michael Carroll says, she just walked by and said, no, not watching it. He can hear me from his control, his studio. He's not watching it. Kevin Bacon's daughter was in Smile 1. Smile 2 has Princess Jasmine, the live-action version from Aladdin. And she's also in Power Rangers. That's where you're going to know that face from. Naomi Scott is her name.
As Princess Jasmine?
No, or? Princess Jasmine isn't making an appearance. There's no Disney Smile crossover.
Okay.
No. She's
now the genie has to
Will Smith, you mean?
Get her out of this predicament.
I don't think Will Smith is going to be in the movie.
Okay. But I don't know. I didn't see it.
I haven't seen it either, so you're right. I don't know. But I haven't seen any reviews of Will Smith making a guest appearance as the genie. But she's in that, and she's in real life, she's a singer too, so she plays a pop star in it, and then the movie kicks off, so we'll see how that is. All right, the Scott Boras stuff. Scott Boras, the agent for Alex Bregman, is telling everyone who will listen that, hey, my client is willing to move to second base, which opens up more teams, I would assume, to come after him. Now, it's still limited by who's willing to offer what, but it does tell you that Alex Bregman is not simply a third baseman for the right offer. We know there's no spot for him here to play second base, so it just adds more teams to the equation, more options for Alex Bregman, more suitors probably, hurts the Astros' cause. I appreciate it from Boras. My guy's willing to do anything to get the bag. You want to play him a second? He'll play second. You want him to platoon? No, he won't platoon. But just give us an offer that we like, and he'll play second base.
Yeah, I'm not.
He just won the Gold Glove at third, and he's willing to go play second to go get the bag.
Yeah, that seems like it's really rare to move off a position you just won Gold Glove on.
Because the value of having a Gold Glove third baseman is the fact you have a great defender who's also very good at the plate. So now you're going to move him to second, a position he hasn't played since maybe college?
He was a shortstop.
Shortstop, yeah, he wasn't even a second baseman. He was a shortstop in college. That's right. I saw some clips. Something they're floating around of his LSU days, and he was a shortstop. So whatever it takes, right, Scott Boras? Scott's looking at it like, I can't have this guy wait until February. Tell them whatever they need to hear.
He'll play whatever.
Yeah. Hey, first base is an option if you want it to be. Scott's like, Alex will do whatever you want him to do.
Yeah.
As long as the money is right. So we'll see. It just leads me to believe where I'm already at as far as belief of whether Alex Bregman is going to come back. I don't think it's happening. But we got a long time to wait, it feels like. Doesn't feel like this thing is going to wrap up anytime soon, but that's the news out today. You may see Alex Bregman playing second base for a team you hate. If it comes down to it. If they can cash those checks, don't put it past them. Eric, I see you. We'll get to you when we come back. Anyone else want to get in? 713-780-3776. We'll get into the college football weekend. We've got some big games in the SEC. Some big games in the Big 12 to a lesser degree. Colorado's in action. Got a chance to solidify their run to possibly playing the Big 12 title game. We got the Holy War, BYU and Utah. And obviously Alabama, LSU, Georgia, Ole Miss. And we'll go across the country. What interests us, what we think is going to happen. Don't take us to heart when it comes to predictions. You've heard this show. Why would you listen to us when it comes to that? But we will talk about the games. And Eric, you want to talk about the Houston Cougars. And considering it's Eric, that could mean anything. But we'll get him in and you in if you want when we come back.
ESPN 97.5.
Hey guys, it is Ryan. For years, Chumba's been setting the bar for online social casino fun, and it just keeps getting better. With new games released every week and daily bonuses to collect, the fun never stops. So claim your welcome bonus now at chumbacasino.com.
No purchase necessary. VGW. Void or prohibited by law. See terms and conditions. 21 plus.
Spring is sprung, and big savings are in full bloom at Menards. Visit Menards Garden Center for everything you need to get your garden growing. Choose from hundreds of beautiful, colorful flowers, lush trees and shrubs, and everything in between. Menards Garden Center is back in bloom. Stop in today to get your garden on. Check out fresh deals happening now at Menards.
Save